Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greeting friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. He needs to be yours. He come to be yours. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, I'm excited about the program this morning. About the message that God has laid on my heart. What a joy it is of mine to be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm telling you something, folks, it doesn't get any better than this. Do you hear me? To be able to declare, thus saith the Lord. To be able to look at the Word of God as it looks in me and as it looks in you is a tremendous blessing, is it not? Well, I've opened my Bible to one of the greatest chapters there is in the entire Word of God. That is the book of Acts, chapter 9. Chapter 15 of the book of Acts. I'm going to read a few verses there. When Debbie gets through with the song titled A Promise, I'll be back to share the message with you that God has laid on my heart. Hey, you listen to this song. Goes right along with the message God has given me today.
When you see a rainbow spread across the sky, that is God's promise He gave to you and I. For just like old Abraham, He promised him a son. When He gave him Isaac, the promise just begun. A promise is something you can hold on to. And when God makes a promise, it always comes true. He puts the promise in the Bible for me and you. And when God gives a promise,
I'll tell you what, that song right there, if you listen to it, puts you on shouting ground. Thank God. Hey, listen, you believe God keeps His Word? Do you believe if God says something, He means what He says, and He says what He means? Well, I believe that with all of my heart. That in a lot of ways, is what this message is about. Out of the book of Acts, chapter 15. I'm going to give you my text. Before I read the text, I'm going to ask you a question, and then way down at the end of the message, I'm going to answer it in a simple way, but yet it's profound, friend, and I'll answer it actually as I go through the message. I'm going to ask you a question. Is God done with Israel? Is God done with Israel? Well, let me answer it right now, by the way, out of the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 1, the Apostle Paul asked this question, anticipating what those at Rome would wonder about, or would say, or would question if he were there. He said, if God cast away His people, and listen to what he did. He used two of the most profound, emphatic, undeniable, explicit words that he could use to answer his own questions. God forbid. You know what that means in a literal way? It means God forbid. It means perish the thought. No, hey, there's no use even ask a question like that. It's not even the realm of God's idea. Hey, I want you to know something, friend. God is not done with Israel. There's a lot of people that think that He is. There's a lot of people that errantly, good people, friend, honest people. Oh, I know that everybody isn't anti-Semitic. I know everybody isn't against the people of God, the chosen of God, the apple of God's eye. I know that there are a lot of people, friend, that like me, just possess some ignorance and they've never really looked at what the Scripture says. They've never really learned how to rightly divide the Word of God. They've just never tried to figure out the fact about what God has said about Israel, about the church to be different. Oh, look, friend, the Word of God. The Word of God tells us many wonderful things. All we've got to do is read it prayerfully. All we got to do is read it honestly. All we got to do is understand it literally. Now, look, let me start right there. You know, the answer to your question about whether or not God is done with Israel depends on how you try to interpret the Word of God. It depends on how you try to interpret the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us, the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Now watch this, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now look, I'm going to tell you something. A lot of you folks out there using another version of the Bible other than the King James, you won't see the word study in that verse in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Say, why? Because the devil wanted to take it out. The devil moved those men and those women sitting on that biblical committee, and there's something wrong with me. You can get upset if you want to, but bless God, listen, I'm on solid ground. You got a Bible that a bunch of women sit on to try to interpret. Hey, there's something wrong with that in the beginning. But the devil, friend, don't want you to study. The devil don't want you to look in the Word of God. The devil doesn't want you to try to rightly divide it. Oh, he wants you to be deceived about God's plan, about God's program. You say, why is there so many against Israel? Why is there such a rise and an upsurge in anti-Semitism or hatred against Israel, wanting to get rid of them? Hey, listen, the devil knows that if he could get rid of the nation of Israel, he could thwart God's plan. He could overthrow God. He would prove God to be a liar. But let me tell you something, friend. God is not done with the nation of Israel. How would that people that He has known and He always knew. Let me read my scripture if I may. Boy, I've got more to preach than I've got time and sense to preach. I'll tell you that in the book of Acts chapter 15. Down here at the Jerusalem Council, they had come together. Paul and Barnabas, Peter was there, James, the Lord's half-brother was there. There were a group of Judaizers up there, and there, listen, there was a question about the direction of the church from that day forward, about 12, 15 years away from Pentecost. This was 2 or 3 years after that, the opening of the gospel down that Peter used the keys down at Cornelius' house to open the gospel up to them. And listen, there were Judaizers that were claiming that in order to be really saved, that people that trusted Christ as salvation had to also submit to circumcision. Well, that sounds like a lot of churches today, doesn't it? They don't think that saved by grace through faith is enough. You got to add some kind of man-made work. You got to do something. You got to be baptized. You got to sign a card. You got to go through a program. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Bless God, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the only way for you to get right with God, be used of God, be saved by God, is by grace through faith. But they came down here, the Jerusalem Council, to decide the most important question, bless God, the church has ever decided upon. Are we going to be saved by grace plus works, or are we going to be saved by grace and grace alone, which will then produce works? And look, after Peter had stood up and said what he did, Paul and Barnabas began to declare the great things that God had done for them. The Judaizers had already made claim, listen, and I know it wasn't long away from the law, 1,500 years of tradition. They were struggling with the fact of how in the world, bless God, how in the world, after 1,500 years of doing a if-then thing, how could it be just simply by faith? How well, they missed it, did they not? How they missed it. But after this, the Bible says this. They held their peace, and James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Listen now, Simon hath declared how that at the first God did visit the Gentiles. Now watch this, folks, watch this, that God did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And he said, look, we've even got scripture to back this up. And he rears back, reaches back into the Old Testament of the book of Amos chapter 9 verses 11 and 12. And boy, I wish I had time to turn over there and read that. And he says, to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. Now watch this after this. Boy, what an amazing two words. After what, preacher? Well, after the fact that God is going to take out of among the Gentiles of people for His name's sake. In fact, He's gone, bless God, through the Holy Spirit, to preach in the Word of God, to get His Son Jesus, a bride, out from among the Gentile world, just exactly like Abraham sent his unnamed servant to get a bride for his son Isaac. Oh, I'm telling you, look at these words again. He said to this, agree the words of the prophet as it is written. After this, listen, bless God, there's a difference in the church age. Bless God in the kingdom age. Somebody say amen right there. We're not in the kingdom right now. Do you hear me? Oh, listen, friend, we're not in the kingdom age. It's the dispensation of grace. It's the age of grace. It is the church age. But oh, I want you to know, thank God there is a king. Bless God, He's already been anointed. He's already been crowned. And we'll see that He comes with many crowns on His head to set up a kingdom. Bless God, He'll sit on the throne of His father David, and He'll rule over it for 1,000 years. But oh, we need to understand the Word of God rightly. He said, after this I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Do you know right now? The house of David has fallen down. Right now, the tabernacle of David has fallen down. In this church age, listen, bless God, Paul told us in the book of Romans, and I know it's in chapter 9, 10, and 11. I'm not going to take time to turn over there and read it. You need to read those three chapters anyway. If you want to get right about this, if you want to understand this, if you want to come to see what God is speaking about in this, you need to read Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Study them prayerfully. Bless God. Look at them intently. May God to show you that openly. Oh, you need to realize that that Israel's fallen, that that salvation might come to the Gentile. But oh, listen to me. Paul put a warning in there. He said, listen, don't you boast because of their fall. If God's able to take the natural and take it away, how much easier will it be to take that which is put in against nature? Oh, listen, friend, how this message is bigger than what I am, much bigger than what I am. But he said, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, how that the residue might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Now watch this. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now listen to me. You'll understand the Word of God by either trying to spiritualize it, or you'll have to understand it. If you want to get it right, bless God, how by rightly dividing it, how by reading it literally, by interpreting it according to the literal, historical, bless God, grammatical, contextual method of interpreting the Word of God. But if you try to spiritualize it, if you try to rest the Scriptures like Peter said, you'll be in a mess. Do you hear me? Let me ask you something. How many of you ever prayed this prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What do you do, bless God, if you believe God's done with Israel? When you get down there to verse, I don't know what verse it is, but that line that said, thy kingdom come. Have thy will be done. What do you do with that? Have blessed God as sure as you pray. That model prayer you're praying for the Lord, how to come and set His kingdom up. I'm telling you, friend, we can rightly divide the Word of God. We can understand the Scriptures if we read them with a literal sense. And when the Word of God makes sense, we ought to seek no other sense. Let me tell you something. When God says Israel, means Israel. When God says the church, He means the church. Look, if you got time, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. And if you don't, by the grace of God, make a mental note of it. I look into that, and boy, I tell you, I wish I had time to explain the passage that Paul gives us in that context. He gives us one of the greatest passages of Scripture there is in the entire Word of God. If you really want to rightly divide the Word of God, Paul said, giving no offense to the Jew, that's one group. To the Gentile, that's another group. And to the church of God, that's an entirely another group, made up of converted Jew and Gentile, by the way. And I want you to know, God knows if you don't, that Israel is Israel. That the church is the church. And bless God, the Gentile is the Gentile. You may have trouble with separating them. You may have trouble understanding, bless God, how dispensationally, friend, how the difference that is there. But God doesn't have that problem. God doesn't have that problem. Listen to me. God's mystery program for the church does not. Let me say that again. God's mystery program of the church does not negate God's prophetic program for Israel. I'm going to tell you something. The church wasn't seeing the Old Testament. It was a mystery that God gave to the Apostle Paul. Jesus didn't say anything about the church to Matthew chapter 16. And after Peter made the great confession, he said upon that confession, upon, bless God, the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He'd build His church. Do you hear? He'd build His church. Let me say some things quick. And then we're going to ask you, what have we got? Well, we've got a gospel for the Jews about the King of the Jews. We've got a gospel written by Matthew, a converted Levite, who no doubt was a priest. Bless God, who was a converted publican. Tax collector. Is that a publican? I think it was. But nonetheless, listen, he got converted, called to God, commissioned by God, how to write a gospel to his own people, the Jew. And you know why he does? In chapter 1, bless God, he gives the genealogy and promises the Savior by the name of Jesus. Chapter 2, thank God we see the wise men seeking Him that's born, King of the Jews. Chapter 3, we see Christ, bless God, identified with a sinner. See Him anointed, bless God, inaugurated in His baptism. In chapter 4, we see Him tempted, not to see whether or not He could see Him, but to prove that He couldn't. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, we hear, I bless God the King given to his people of the kingdom. Bless God, the law of the kingdom. In chapters 8 to 9, we find Him in the miracles that He did. I believe there are 10 of them listed. We find, bless God, the King that had spoken the law in chapter 5, 6, and 7, proving that He not only could speak the law, but He had power, bless God, to adjudicate the law. In chapter 10, we find, bless God, that Him sending a congregation to the lost house of the sheep of Israel, only to find that they would reject Him, reject the King, reject His promise, reject His advances. And all in chapter 11, we hear Him saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Bless God, when the nation of Israel rejected Jesus, He had no choice but to reject them, but He gave individual Jews the opportunity to come. In chapter 13, we have what is called the mystery parable of the kingdoms. And in that, Jesus lays down what would happen in this period of time. We know the church age in this period of time. Now listen closely. When the kingdom that God promised to Abraham and to David that kingdom, bless God, that will be set up after the tribulation. That kingdom over which that son of David, that greater son of David, who was born of a virgin Mary, who was promised, bless God, to sit upon the throne of his father David, it will be known in that time called the millennial. Somebody said, preacher, that's not Bible. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus was premillennial. Thank God, you read it out, you'll find that he was premillennial. But I want you to know in those parables of Matthew chapter 13, of the wheat and the tares, the good and the bad fish, of the woman hiding leaven and meal, and all the others, the sowing and the reaping, they show what's going to happen during this church age, bless God, while the kingdom of heaven has been postponed. But I'm going to tell you why. It's not being negated. Paul said, if God cast away his people, and he said, God forbid. I want you to know, friend, the Old Testament provided for both the salvation of the Gentile and the kingdom, the future establishment of Israel in a glorious kingdom. You can read that in Isaiah 2, Isaiah 11, Isaiah 12, Isaiah 35, Isaiah 60, just to name a few places. But oh, listen, friend, the church does not supplant Israel. The church did not replace Israel. Listen to what I've already said. Let me say it again. How the church is the church, and Israel is Israel. Now listen, friend, we ought to consider what God says and not what man said. You know, the Word of God is replete with teachings about the plans God has for the future state of Israel. Do you know there in the book of Romans, I'm thinking chapter 13, maybe chapter 14, you read the whole book, you'll find it like I did, where he said the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Do you know, bless God, that in the Old Testament, God gave pacts or covenants to a man by the name of Abraham, to a man by the name of David. Do you know what those covenants are, those pacts are? Bless God, they are eternal, and they are unconditional. God said, I'll do it. God said, I'll make a promise, and I'll keep my word. Hey, do you know what? God not only made a pact, but thank God this ought to be preached somewhere else. He made promises. Do you hear me? He tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, when he was talking to Abraham, he said, listen, when God could swear by no other, he swore by himself. He said in the book of Malachi 3:6, he said, I am the Lord, I change not. Not only did God give pacts or covenants, not only did God give promises, but listen, he gave undeniable multitudes of promises. Prophecies, thank God. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. God's not an ending giver. Do you know that? Time would fail us to look. Try to look. I mean, it'd take day after day, week after week, year after year in a little format like this to try to look at the promises God has given to the nation of Israel, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But I'm going to tell you something. The book of Genesis 12, 15, 17, 27, just to give you a couple of verses, you can find that God's said, listen, Abraham, listen, if you come out of the Chaldees, I promise you, I'll give you a land, I'll give you a son, and I'll give you a seed. And bless God, it's a promise that's built upon my word, upon who I am. And I'll put you to sleep to show in chapter 15 of the book of Genesis that this promise is on me and none other. Listen. I said early in the beginning of this message that the devil would try to do everything he can. He has and still is. Had to do away with the nation of Israel. Say, why, preacher? Because he knows if he could do away with this, or he could thwart God's plan. I mean to tell you, know that he could prove God a liar. Listen now. Is God done with Israel? No, God's not done with Israel. Thus saith the Lord in the book of Jeremiah 31. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea with the waves thereof. The Lord of hosts of his name. Now watch this, it's his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel. If then, notice that. He said, in other words, if the sun and the moon didn't shine, If the stars of light from heaven didn't shine, if the seas thereof didn't roar, He said, look, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation from before Me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, foundation of the earth searched beneath, I will cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Hey, listen, friend, I ask a question. I'm not done real good answering it. Got more inside than I put outside, but I want you to know God is not done with Israel. Hey, listen, 1 Corinthians 10:32 again. I give no offense to the Jew, to the Gentile, and to the church of God, the only three classes of people of God knows. Hey, friend, rightly divide the Word of God. I don't try to interpret the obscure. Bless God by, or the plain by the obscure. Interpret the obscure by what is plain. I'm telling you, friend, God's not changing. God gave a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God gave a promise to King David. There are more than those two covenants. There's even a Palestinian covenant. Do you know that? Thank God. Listen, man, I'm going to tell you on those two pacts, those two covenants, you can rest assured that God's not done with Israel. God's going to keep His Word. Listen, bless God. He's going to do what He said He would do. God is no liar. God does not change. God is not done with Israel. And we ought to come to understand that, embrace it. And by the way, if you get it right, you'll rejoice in it unto the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TomAndDebbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.